And welcome Let's back to the Tuned In Podcast. Go. Coming straight out of Provo, Utah, Andrew and Braden, we're here to
Let's go.
Break down some jazz for you. We've got the preseason finally started. How That's does that right. feel?
Oh, man, it feels so good. Hockey season started. College football is going, man. It's like Disneyland for us. We love it.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, preseason's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is.
Because like most of our team is playing the whole game, right?
You throw all caution to the wind and see everybody play. It's awesome. We got a really exciting episode today. Obviously, like we just mentioned, we got preseason basketball. We'll talk about the two games that have been played this week. And we'll go over our official 2025-2026 preseason Jazz superlatives. And then we'll talk about a little bit of NBA news, couple topics trending in the NBA. And then we'll go over the Mammoths first game, and we'll talk about our two college football games coming up this weekend here with our in-state teams.
Make sure to follow us on all the podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you can find a podcast, we're there. Give us a good rating, share with a friend, and as we get ready for the season, check out the past couple episodes we've done. We break down every player on the Jazz, break down the draft, free agency, every move in this offseason, everything you need to get ready for this next Jazz season.
This is episode 84 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, we have some games to talk about. Let's go. Two preseason games this week.
Man.
Another one on Monday. But how are you feeling about these two games that we've been playing?
Oh, man. I'll just say, I think before we talk about the Jazz, I think both of these teams are like sleeper picks for me in the West. I think Rockets and Spurs. I just love both of their rosters, the way they're set up. It was kind of cool to see them play, too. I thought that was pretty cool. And I think we got some exciting things from the Jazz, too. So
there were four Jazz rotation players that didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you count Georges Niang, that's five. Three starters in Collier, Kessler, and Markkanen, and then also Filipowski. None of them played. They were listed as injuries, so hopefully those aren't too serious.
I kind of doubt they were really injuries.
Yeah, I mean, Markkanen's is a left wrist injury. That doesn't sound too bad.
No.
Filipowski's lower back. Kessler's left shoulder, Collier right hamstring. So I don't know what we'll see. I guess if they come to Utah and they're still out, we'll know maybe those are a little bit more serious. But
it kind of makes me think, like, it's Collier, Filipowski surprised me a little, but Markkanen and Kessler, those are probably the only two guys on the roster who have a set spot. Like, they don't have to fight. Kessler's the starting center. Markkanen's our best player as of this moment. So it's like, of course, we're not going to play them.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of teams are doing the same thing. It's preseason.
Absolutely.
But hopefully when we come back to Utah, we could at least see like 10 minutes of each guy. But
get some cardio.
Yeah. But we had a lot of players we're excited about from this game.
Yeah.
I guess as the game as a whole, how'd you feel about playing the Rockets?
Oh, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of jumping on the Ace Bailey train.
Already. Well, it's been one game, bro.
Well, but both these games, I mean, I guess with this game specifically, I just thought he played really well. He shot confidently. I didn't think, I mean, he took 16 shots, made 11. I mean, 68% from the field on 16 shots is pretty good. Shot 40% from three, six rebounds, seven assists, and a steal. I think I got that wrong. Six rebounds. Three assists and two steals is what I meant, sorry. I just thought he looked really good. I mean, it kind of felt like at times he was going back and forth with KD, which is kind of exciting. So what stuck out to you from this game? What was your thoughts?
I was really impressed with our shooting.
Yeah.
Like, we shot 23s this game. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
And we also were confident in our shots. It wasn't like, maybe in past years we've had some guys on the team that they shoot and we're like, yeah, that's probably not going in.
Yeah.
Almost like most every shot that guys take on our team, I feel like it's going in. Yeah. Or at least a good chance.
Absolutely. Another guy I really liked, it's just really interesting to me. Kevin Love went 3 for 3, 2 for 2 from 3, 12 points, 6 rebounds. It'd be interesting to see. We've kind of just, he's been just a big question mark, I feel like, going into the season. We didn't even think he was going to be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he can put up 12 and 6 or even 10 and 5 a game.
He just hits a couple shots. Yeah.
And he makes the right play. Like, you see him, you know, he goes and sets a screen. He makes the right pass. He's coaching up his teammates. I just think that that's, like, really valuable to have on the floor. I think he could be a good piece this year as we kind of build. So,
yeah, there's, like, a fast break or pick and roll or something where Clint Capella was going in for, like, a layup and Kevin Love just fouls the crap out of him.
Yeah.
And the announcers are like, wow, that's a really smart foul because Kevin Love probably can't jump with Clint Capella at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Clint Capella is going to struggle at the line. So, I don't know, like, little smart plays like that are nice.
Absolutely.
I'm going to try not to do this too much during the season, but somebody's got to be the turnover police.
That's fair.
We had a lot of turnovers this game. That's probably why we lost. So I think the past couple of years with Will Hardy's been coach, we've always been one of the high turnover teams. Yeah. So I get it. Like, we'll probably have more turnovers than an average team just because of the way we play. But we gotta cut it down a little bit. It's usually getting up to like 18 to 20 each game. This game we had 20. So,
absolutely.
Somebody's got to do it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think overall, though, just to mention quickly a couple other guys that I thought looked nice. Taylor Hendricks, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. And then Bryce Sensabaugh, 9 for 15, 24 points. I know you're a big Bryce Sensabaugh guy, probably bigger than me, but I think both those guys are looking like they're going to have significant playing time this year if they keep playing like that. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into our Jazz superlatives later, but I think some of these games might have played into what I was thinking for this year with some of these players or predictions.
Absolutely. And then last night, we go to San Antonio with State in the state of Texas, play the Spurs. Man, Wembanyama, man, I just watch him in awe every time.
He's special.
He's insane. It's hard not to like him. Yeah. I feel like there's really only a couple guys in the NBA who match up size-wise to be able to even contest. It's kind of scary, honestly, but it's cool to watch, so. I thought Ace shined again, though, 20 points.
Oh, yeah.
20 points and 7 rebounds with 2 steals. 8 for 13 is not bad either. I mean, I love the... With rookies, I feel like that's... Like, you look at guys like Keontae, his rookie year, he was not shooting efficiently. He was scoring points, but he was, like... He'd be, like, 8 for 20 or...
Yeah. like, he takes... He's been taking a lot of mid-range.
Yeah.
And he's been making a lot of mid-range.
It's a shot, yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of the star players in the NBA operate in that area. So it's nice to have your star be able to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
He also was rebounding the ball. He had 7 rebounds.
Yeah.
He's got definitely that, like, what is it? Like, pogo... You remember 2K used to have the pogo stick?
Yeah.
Badge. Yeah, like, he gets up for those rebounds. He's got a good vert for that.
That's the truth. Another guy, I think we'll end up talking about him a little later, but I thought Cody Williams is looking a lot better. I mean, the bar was kind of on the floor, so better meaning he looks more like a basketball
serviceable
player. 12 points, 4 for 8, not great, not terrible. But I've loved to see him, like, being more aggressive. Like, there was a shot where he got the rebound, took it coast to coast, and finished at the rim on the other side, and I was like, dang, like, Cody Williams last year was just sitting in the corner waiting for the ball to come to him. And this year's Cody Williams is, like, proactive. He's, like, making plays. So I love that.
I love that, too. And I think one thing that was good for Cody and for, like, a lot of the players on our team is getting to the line.
Oh, yeah.
Taylor Hendricks shot 7 free throws. I don't think I've ever seen Taylor Hendricks shoot that many free throws in a game.
Made all of them, too.
It's probably the most I've ever seen. Bryce Sensabaugh was 12 for 12.
Jeez.
And so we shot well from the free throw line. Yeah. We shot a lot of them. And maybe that was just the Spurs maybe not playing the best defense they should have and fouling a lot. But getting to the line means that we're attacking the rim. And we'll take all these free throws because,
totally agree.
Easy points.
I think another guy I'm seeing the vision on, Walter Clayton Jr.
Mm-hmm.
First game, I thought he just looked okay. But this game, I was really impressed with like the types of shots he was taking. Like it kind of felt like I was watching him back at Florida. He was like stepping into three-pointers off of pick and rolls.
Oh, yeah.
There was one where he like, I just thought was really nice, like showed a lot of maturity where he like took one dribble, hesitated a little, and then scooped it up and scored just really nice. He also had 5 assists and 5 rebounds with a block and a steal. I just think it was just a really, showed his maturity, showed his readiness.
Have the Jazz in like recent years had a player like Walter Clayton?
Man, I got I'm trying to think.
Joe Ingles, yeah, he can shoot and play make, but I feel like Walter Clayton's a little bit more athletic.
That's true.
It's hard to say if we have. Maybe, maybe Alec Burks, like shooting wise, but not playmaking wise. So I don't even know if we've really had a player.
No.
Like Walter Clayton, which is even more reason why I'm excited to watch him play this year.
Absolutely.
Bring something new to the team.
Yeah. Speaking of rookies, John Tonjay made his Jazz debut.
Oh, yeah. Only 4 minutes. But he got in there.
It was not that impressive. It was 3 minutes. I won't like hold it to him too much. He took this three that was like, it like hit the top of the backboard. It was pretty bad.
Oh, no.
And then on defense, he looked like he was pretty lost. It's okay. I mean, it was his first time on the floor, so I won't like crucify the guy. Oh, yeah. But, you know, it was not a great showing for 3 minutes, but kind of interesting.
Well, I guess that might bring us to our Jazz superlatives.
Yes, so.
And if you've been with us the past couple seasons, this is kind of a tradition here.
Yeah.
Tuned In Podcast. Well, we have our NBA awards, MVP, Sixth Man, Rookie of the Year, but we like to do kind of our own Jazz awards, call it Jazz superlatives. So I think we've got 9 different items that we're going to go through, different awards or mostly projections, right? We're trying to see at the end of the season who leads the Jazz in these categories or who's our best rookie or defender and other things like that.
Yeah.
And I think it will lead to some good conversations.
Absolutely.
So let's start with probably one. This is a new one we haven't done before, but probably one of the biggest awards is team MVP.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the most valuable Jazz player by the end of the season?
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I'll start. I think I took this very literal. I mean, I know that MVP can mean a lot of things. Like, you know, you never know year to year in the NBA what MVP is going to actually mean. Best player, you know, most valuable player. I'm taking it literally, most valuable player. I think it's Ace Bailey.
Ooh.
I don't think he's our best player. I don't think he will be our best player this year, but I think he's our most valuable player. I think even this early, he's already like setting himself up as the guy here in Utah, and I think he's our most valuable player.
I like it. I like it. I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
I just don't think too hard is kind of what I was thinking. I went with Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I feel like it's got to be one of those two.
I'm glad we have it different. I think both of those guys have a case because I guess my thinking with Lauri Markkanen is when he had his most improved player year, he had a great offseason in Finland.
Yeah.
He had another great offseason in Finland. He's coming back and the team looks a little bit more promising.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I think Markkanen's due for a bounce back year. We saw that with Walker Kessler last year. He had a great bounce back year. So I think Markkanen, he may not make All-Star, but I think he is going to bounce back a little bit from what he did last year.
I think Jazz aren't as committed to the tank this year, and I would be surprised if Lowry has these random injuries that keep him out 15 games like they did last year. So I don't hate the pick. I think he's going to have a much better season.
Yeah, and based on the offseason, he's still got it.
Absolutely.
Totally. But I totally get the argument for Bailey just because of like the potential. And by the end of a season, he could have, who knows what he'll have grown to it by the end of a full season.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. That takes us to our top 3 scorers. Who do you got on yours?
Kind of goes with my MVP. I think Markkanen's going to lead us in scoring. And then I have Ace Bailey 2nd.
Okay.
Because I think the Jazz would be foolish if they didn't give him a lot of shots.
Absolutely.
So I think he should average a solid amount of points, maybe like 18 to 20 is what I'm hoping for. And then third scorer, I have Keyonte George.
Ooh, okay.
I hesitated to put Keyonte George because really for me, this is a make or break year for Keyonte.
Absolutely.
He's got to show what he's really made of. And by the end of the season, the Jazz are going to have to make a decision on him. So I think he could be our third scorer. He may come off the bench, but he'll score.
Like that. I actually had the same three. I think Lowry's a given. I think we already know what his scoring ability is. He can score at an elite level. I also think having other scorers on the floor, we're starting to get more, is going to help Lowry because, you know, last couple seasons since his All-Star season, we've seen Lowry just gets a lot of attention on defense and it makes it really hard. But if you got guys like Ace Bailey, even if Keyonte can start scoring better, like, these type of guys take a lot of pressure off stars.
Well, and you know, last year, Sexton was a 20-point scorer.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to take his points.
Absolutely.
Clarkson was at least probably 15, maybe.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to take his points off the
bench.
John Collins, yeah, he was almost 20 as well. So,
I think so, yeah.
Like, those guys, that's a lot of points that we traded away.
Yeah.
So, totally some of these guys have got to score.
I think one thing with Keyonte that I think's been interesting, just while we're talking about Keyonte, I agree. I think it's a make-or-break year. I think his biggest thing is he has to score more efficiently. Like, I think, I don't think he's a terrible defender. He's got the body to be a good defender. He's really athletic. Pretty good passer, we've seen.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be him shooting it every time.
Yeah,
just make the right play. If you're open, shoot it. If you can find somebody else, shoot it. Just let the game come to you. Don't force it.
Totally agree. One thing I've loved in preseason, I guess I forgot to talk about, was that I noticed on the bench yesterday that every time they go to the bench, Keyonte was coaching up Ace or Walter Clayton. And that's one thing I think that could help him make the biggest stride is become a leader. Like, I never really seen Lowry as a leader. He seems like kind of a quiet guy. He's kind of, his presence makes him a leader.
Lead by example.
Yeah, he's kind of that kind of guy. But I think that the Jazz need a vocal leader. And I think if Keyonte George could, like, start being that guy, maybe he could make another case for why he should stay on the team type of thing. So
it's another reason I'm glad we drafted Walter Clayton.
Absolutely.
He's got the championship DNA. He talks.
There. Yeah, totally agree.
Well, it's interesting, Kay. We had the same top three scores.
Yeah.
What about, this one's probably the most obvious on the list, top rebounder on the team.
Yeah, I think I'd be surprised if it's not Walker Kessler.
Yeah, he should average like 12 rebounds a game.
One of the top five rebounding guys in the NBA last year. Probably top three. I don't know. I don't remember the numbers. Where I want to say he was up there, though.
What about after Kessler? Because we know it's obvious.
Yeah, that's fair.
I would say I'm thinking Filipowski. Because I'm hoping for a jump in minutes for Filipowski. He's been a pretty good rebounder. Mostly, I think whoever's second in rebounding, it's just who plays the most. Whatever big.
That's true.
So I'm hoping Filipowski's like our big that plays the most after Kessler.
I think it's tough because you never know what the minutes are going to look like for the bigs. I could agree with Flip, but I think like Kevin Love's an elite, we know he's an elite rebounder.
Yusuf Nurkic.
Mm-hmm. It just kind of depends on how many rotation minutes they get.
Low-key Bailey or Markkanen because they play a lot of minutes.
Ace has gotten like 7 and 8 in his last two games. So yeah, it could be. I feel like it's,
I don't know, you're
pretty
like,
up in the air.
Unknown.
Yeah. That brings us to top assister, though. I think this one's kind of interesting. Guys, this could be. Who are you feeling?
Again, I was thinking, just don't think too hard. But I could see this being one that's pretty close to like three players. But I went with Isaiah Collier.
Okay, that's fair.
I think he's going to be our starting point guard all year.
Interesting.
In my opinion. So whoever ends up being the starting point guard all year, just like how the Jazz system runs, is probably going to lead us in assists. And I think Collier did a great job last year. I could see him doing it again. So just didn't think too hard. But what do you have?
That's kind of what I'm... So I had Keyonte, but I kind of agree with you that I think we have three point guards who are capable playmakers. There's not a question for any of those three guys that their passing ability is up to par. Like, it's more shooting defense that we're looking at. I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards that Keyonte is going to start a lot of the year. It's hard to tell. I mean, I guess Isaiah Collier did end the season as the starter over Keyonte, so I don't know. I agree with you, though. I think whoever's the starter is going to be, is going to have a lot of opportunity to find open teammates, and so that's why I said Keyonte.
Yeah, I also said I kind of feel like Keontae's going to fall into a scoring role, like more of a shooting guard. We'll see, because he did play point guard in the past, but I think he just feels more like a shooting guard, but we'll see.
That's fair.
So yeah. I thought actually Walter Clayton would be like our second guy.
The second?
Like that's our fair. Bench assister.
Yeah, that's
but we'll
fair.
See.
Well, our next one, best defender. I feel like this one's also kind of obvious. I put Walker Kessler, but I also picked another one because I feel like Walker Kessler's
yeah,
kind of
obvious. I picked Walker Kessler as well.
Yeah.
Just... He's a man.
Yeah.
He's an anchor to our defense.
Great shot blocker.
If we have like a decent defense this year, it'll be because of him.
Oh, absolutely. Totally agree. I kind of cheated, put a second one, but I put Taylor Hendricks. I still think he's got a lot of upside as a defender.
He says he wants to be the best defender in the NBA.
Yeah. And I would love to see it. I could see it happening. I think early he's shown that he's like back from injury. He doesn't seem to be like playing too conservative. Obviously shot 7 free throws, so he's being aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excited. I think he could be our best defender.
He's also a rebounder.
Yeah. He got good size too.
That kind of leads into the next one for me.
Okay.
Biggest improvement or most improved player. I had Taylor Hendricks for that.
Ooh, okay.
Cause you know Taylor Hendricks has had 2 off seasons. He's a completely different player than what we've seen.
Yeah.
And so I think like he'll come in this year and people will really catch him and or they'll see him play and they'll realize this guy's grown a ton.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's cheating to put him for this one because he's had 2 off seasons. But I think when he gets on the floor, we'll see he's stronger, he's more aggressive and confident, and he's gonna be a good defender. And previous to this year, he was just like the 10th man on the team, couldn't really get in the game sometimes. So I think going from not always getting into the game to like being a guy in the rotation that like makes winning plays, I think that's where we could see him this year.
I feel like we kind of talked about this last week with these two guys. Mine was Cody Williams.
Okay.
I think you believe? I don't know if I
believe. You're putting your
well,
bingo card that Cody Williams improves?
I'm probably one of the only people here in Utah that believe Cody Williams. But the thing is, I feel like I put him here because I feel like I said earlier, the bar is so low. The biggest improvement doesn't necessarily mean to me like he's going to jump to be an all-star or even to play significant minutes. But if he can just look like he belongs... Right, like
yeah, like he's in the rotation
yeah.
and he's making plays. Same with Taylor, yeah. kind of.
I think you can make an argument that last year Cody Williams was the worst player in the NBA. I've seen some like
sure
player rating things that have put him there, but I don't think that that's who Cody Williams is. I think he's much better than that, and I think if he can jump up and be somewhat of a rotation guy, I think that's enough to keep him around, to keep working on him. So.
Do you think he'll play more minutes than Hendricks?
Because
those guys play a similar role.
Cody's kind of, it seems like he's gotten better defensively, so they kind
of
do.
Yeah, they kind of overlap a little bit. That's what I'm worried about.
I think it's probably going to depend on who becomes the better scorer, probably.
Yeah, who can shoot more consistently.
Yeah, which is still, I don't know who I would pick as a scorer, to be honest. They're kind of maybe Hendricks at this point, but yeah, kind of interesting.
That takes us to best shooter. This one we haven't done before. I kind of like.
Yeah.
And I guess in my eyes, best shooter to me means like percentage, but also it could mean like they make difficult shots as well. I don't know. So who'd you have for that?
This one's kind of interesting. I don't know. My gut's telling me that it's going to be Walter Clayton. I know that might be a little bit of a hot take. I kind of, just like watching him early, I really like the type of shots he takes. I think the shots are going to be available to him this year. Like shots off of pick and rolls, shots at the rim. In general, I just think that he has a really nice jump shot, so I could see him becoming our best shooter this year.
I love it. I was thinking a lot about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just couldn't pick between him and another guy, so I'll go with the other guy because he already picked him.
Okay, fair enough.
Bryce Sensabaugh is my best shooter.
Nice.
He was a great shooter last year, and I don't see any slowing down. And honestly, I think we'll get into. I'm pretty high on Bryce Sensabaugh this upcoming year. I know maybe I'm a little too biased because he played well in the preseason.
Yeah,
but he played well all of last season too. So I'm on the Bryce Sensabaugh train.
I think my thing with Bryce Sensabaugh, something I've been thinking about a lot. I love how he's been playing this preseason and in the summer league, but I really feel like the risk that I see in my mind is him turning into a Talon Horton Tucker, Colin Sexton type of player that doesn't pass the ball and like is just kind of like is a really good scorer but doesn't like
doesn't find the open man.
Yeah, doesn't play winning basketball, you know. But I not that he is that, but I think that he could turn into that. Like the more I don't know if we want Bryce Sensabaugh taking 15, 18 shots a game like he's been taking in summer league and preseason, but I agree with you. I think he's an elite scorer. I hope he can turn into a good piece for us.
Also, this a side note. Have you seen his nickname?
Is it Ice Bryce or whatever?
Sensafrenia.
Oh, I heard the announcer say it there, and I was like, "Dang, that's sick!" I didn't even know that was that.
Yeah, I don't know who came up with that. Was that the Rockets guys, or I don't know?
I can't remember.
Yeah, like schizophrenia.
That's a sick name.
Yeah, he puts he makes you hallucinate.
Yeah,
when you're trying to guard him.
I like that.
So kind of mesmerizing. I'm probably gonna keep using that sensafrenia.
Yeah, well, that takes us to our best rookie, and why do you think it's going to be John Tonjay? I'm just kidding.
Actually, no. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be Ace Bailey.
You think so?
I don't have much to say about that.
I put Walter Clayton.
I know. Really? But you said Ace Bailey was our team MVP.
Yeah, but I mean, well, I guess the logic for me was I think that this year Walter Clayton played 4 years of college basketball, so I think this year he's going to be the best rookie. As far as most valuable moving forward, yeah, Ace Bailey.
Okay.
I think he's just Ace Bailey's got a higher ceiling, but I think this season,
like you're using potential a lot when you're talking MVP.
But I think at the end of this season, we're gonna be like, Walter Clayton is, you know, he's really good, you know, and Ace is probably gonna be that too. But there'll still be some question marks.
There'll be some like
because he's 19,
projecting a little bit.
Yeah.
No, I think Ace Bailey's. I think it's not going to take him as long as you think. I think he's going to come in and he's going to be better than Walter Clayton.
That's fair.
In just the impact that he has. They're both going to bring impact, but
yeah,
I think he'll, and he's going to have a lot of opportunity.
That's true.
I feel like Walter Clayton may not start. Ace Bailey should start.
That's true, hoping.
So I think opportunity brings into that a little bit. But hopefully they're fighting for it and we just can't choose because they're both great.
I hope so.
That's the goal.
Yeah. So, well, we've kind of hinted at a lot of this already. So I'm guessing it might not be too different, but our starting lineups at the end of the season is our last one. Mine, I've already said, I think Keontae's going to be the starter. I think Ace could be at the two just because we have some guys and then we'll put... And then I got Lowry, Flip, and Walker. I think that's a big lineup, but I could see that being something that Will Hardy would run. And then as a sixth man, that one's tough, but I put Isaiah Collier. I think him and Keontae will play similar minutes, even if Keontae is a starter, you know.
So. That's interesting. I'm completely different.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't have Filipowski at all.
Okay, fair enough.
In any of it.
Fair enough.
And I actually put Bryce Sensabaugh in the starting lineup.
Okay, I can see it.
I like it because
fits better at the two.
I think he's a better fit in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
And I put Collier as our point guard.
Yeah.
Then I have Keontae as like our sixth man who probably plays starter minutes.
Yeah.
And then I had Bailey, Markkanen, and Kessler.
Okay.
So I kind of like, I feel like Bryce, again, I'm high on Bryce Sensabaugh. I think he's going to have a great year. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to become that starting shooting guard.
That's fair.
He'll play off ball probably primarily.
Yeah.
But he can get a bucket when needed. But I think Collier will run the offense and then we'll run through Sensabaugh and Bailey and Markkanen as scorers.
That makes sense to me. I think Sensabaugh fits better with Collier. I feel like they play better.
Or maybe with Collier and Sensabaugh are the bench point guards and you have like what you had in the starting lineup, you know? Yeah, just as long as those two are together, because I think they work well together.
I'm sure we'll see all these lineups this year. I'm sure there won't be one set one all year, honestly, other than Lowry and Walker, probably.
Any chance you think Walter Clayton ends up in the starting lineup at the end of the season?
I could see it. I think he's NBA ready. I honestly, like, I feel like it's, to me, it's kind of just a coin flip with any of those point guards, in my opinion. I feel like...
Between Collier, George, and Clayton.
Yeah. I don't even... I think each of them has their own strengths, but I just... Right now, I don't think that any of them really has, like, a huge leg up on the other. They're all just kind of at the same place, in my opinion. So, I don't know. I could see it.
Yeah, I'd say for me to start, Collier's got a little bit of a leg up on the other two.
That's fair.
That being said, he hasn't even played preseason.
Yeah.
But it could change.
Yeah, he was a starter at the end of last year. He won the job last year, so I don't think that's a crazy take. So,
well, let us know if you agree, disagree with our starting lineup at the end of the year, our other superlatives of scoring, rebounding, assisting, defending, all that.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's gets to the end of the year and all the guys are in that conversation, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, going to our NBA news, the Western Conference continues to get crazier because now we have thin Zion and thin Luka Doncic. It'll be interesting. That's been like, those are the two guys in the NBA that have received, I think, the most criticism for being out of shape. So now Zion looks really good. I was shocked. Yeah,
he looks crazy.
He doesn't even look like the same person to me, honestly.
Yeah, what has he been eating? Like spinach or?
Yeah. I've always wondered with Zion, though. I kind of feel like that's part of his game, though, is that he's just like a freakishly athletic big guy that like is hard to... Like, you're like, how do I guard this 285-pound guy?
He's going to move you out the way.
Yeah, who can jump over me. Like, this is insane. So, it'll be interesting that he's thinned out. He's probably still plenty strong. But
I'm sure his knees are going to be a little bit better.
Less injuries. Because
when you weigh more and you just get all that stress on your knees, it's hard to deal with.
Hard on your body.
I think the goal for him, just play more than 30 games this year.
Absolutely.
And if he does that, success.
Oh, yeah. So,
but I think that'll actually, hopefully him being thinner, that'll kind of make him a little bit more durable.
Yeah, Pelicans had a really good draft, I thought. I really liked Jeremiah Fear. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah,
Fears. Jeremiah Fears and Derek Queen.
Yeah, yeah.
I like those picks. I've always thought the Pelicans have had a really good roster since Zion's got there. They've just kind of been waiting for him to become the guy, and he just kind of hasn't.
I'll be honest, I'm not as high on their draft.
Oh, really? Okay, fair enough.
And I'm also not as high on the Jordan Poole trade.
I forgot about that.
So, I don't know. I think they just have a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
That's fair.
Not really sure what they're going to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. So, there's a lot of question marks.
They got Jordan Poole and Jeremiah Fears and Zion and... my favorite guy on their team right now is probably Trey Murphy III.
Yeah, Herb Jones is pretty good.
Oh, yeah, Herb Jones is great.
Yeah, they got some good defenders.
They just got a lot of players. I don't know I don't know who's their starters, honestly, because they just have so many.
Yeah, in the Eastern Conference, they're a playoff team. In the West, I'm not sure where they are. I feel like the Eastern Conference is going to be pretty weak this year. And a team like Pelicans could randomly get a play.
The Pelicans were bad last year, so I don't know.
That's true.
They could be down at the bottom.
That's true. Luka also seems to be in better shape. It seems like we're going to get a Luka revenge tour this year. I think, honestly, so LeBron's out first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. My guess is that that's going to happen a lot this year. I just don't think LeBron's going to play more than 50-something games would be my guess. So I think Luka's going to have his chance to just kind of be the guy in LA this year. It'd be kind of exciting.
And I mean, Austin Reeves is he's a guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we'll see a jump from Austin Reeves because last year he was already really good.
I think he's already borderline
so
all-star.
If he just maintains what he did last year, I think they'll be a playoff team, even if LeBron's out for...
I think so far DeAndre Ayton's looked really nice. I mean, he hasn't like scored a ton, but I saw an interview where he was talking about how he's not focusing on scoring. He just wants to be what his teammates need him to be. And I was like, that's not something we've heard from DeAndre Ayton before.
He hasn't... Well, maybe... Maybe he's changed his heart, but is he going to actually do it?
That's true.
That's my question.
But their first preseason game, he only took 2 shots, which is not DeAndre Ayton's style.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the gripe, was he always needed 10, 15 shots, and then he was missing most of them. So it's like, I don't know. I'm kind of liking that pickup so far. We'll see how it goes over time. But
I also like they have Brooke Lopez, right? Or yeah. No, that's the Clippers.
That is the Clippers. Who else did they get?
I guess Jackson Hayes is the backup.
I thought Jackson Hayes looked better last year.
He's all right.
Yeah. He's probably better as a backup center than a starting center.
I wish they had Brooke Lopez. I like him on the Clippers. But
yeah, but yeah, they still Aiden got Rui and Dorian Finney-Smith. And
no, Finney-Smith's on the Rockets.
Oh, you're right. Who else? They added somebody else. I can't remember. Anyways, Bronny James is going to take a leap this year. So.
Oh, they added Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart.
That's who it was.
That's who it was, yeah. He'll be good.
He should be all right. Maybe. And then our boy Russell Westbrook, still unsigned.
Yeah.
Him, Ben Simmons, both unsigned. I think Ben Simmons might just not
play
anymore. But Westbrook's got a deal.
Yeah, I saw a report yesterday. Somebody was saying that apparently there might be a deal on the table with the Kings, possibly for Westbrook, but that there's a team in China. I can't remember what their names are. It's not the Shanghai Sharks, but they offered him 4 times what the NBA is offering him this year, which I don't know. The NBA is probably not offering him that much this year. So,
yeah,
but it'll be interesting. I don't know if I like that for Westbrook playing in China. I feel like he's just still too good to, I don't know. I don't think he'll be signed before the season starts, but I could see
him. He could contribute to a playoff team.
I think so. I could see him getting picked up at the deadline when there's like a team that needs one more piece or something. I kind of think that's probably the best route for him right now, but I don't know.
I wouldn't mind watching China highlights from Westbrook, though. So,
dude, with how mad and how like passionate he plays, they might arrest him over there. I don't know. That guy plays us. I honestly just love watching Russell Westbrook. He's like one of my favorite players. I know people don't like him for a lot of reasons, and he has somehow turned into just a negative shooter scorer, but in his prime, just like, man, nobody loved the game more than Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. Like, the guy just played like he cared. And most of the players in the NBA don't care anymore, so kind of sad to see him.
Should the Jazz get Westbrook a third time and wave him just for fun?
Yeah, dude, maybe we just get him in there and be like, hey, look, you're our point guard coach. We're going to put you on the roster, but we need you to get these guys hyped up.
Yeah, if you say the wrong thing, you're waived.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, go play with your college teammate, Kay Love, here in Utah.
Yeah.
That'd be exciting. That'd be pretty cool. I'd get a Westbrook Jazz jersey if he actually ever came. I probably could have got one already.
I mean, you could make a custom one, right?
That's true, yeah. Yeah, of all the guys on the team this year, who do you think, are you eyeing any jerseys you might buy?
Well, I've already got a Markkanen jersey.
Oh, that's right.
So I don't need one for him.
Yeah, with that.
It'd honestly be between Ace Bailey or Walker Kessler.
That's fair.
I don't want to buy a jersey for a guy that only plays like 2 or 3 years.
That's fair.
So I don't know. I feel like those guys are the most secure for the future.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it'd be cool to have a Kevin Love jersey, even though it's not going to stick
around.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I also think eventually I might get me an Ace Bailey jersey. I kind of think his number's going to change eventually, though.
I might want to get one of those white ones.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
That's true.
I try to wait a couple years before I get a jersey to where, like, all right, the guy's been good enough that I'll validate this jersey.
Yeah.
Because, like, you could buy a jersey and the guy gets traded a year later.
Absolutely. That was me when I bought my Gordon Hayward jersey in 2016.
Oh, no.
Dang it.
But that's a hard one. You didn't burn it, did you? Okay.
No, just threw it away. Just kidding. I didn't throw it away. It's probably still in my closet.
Yeah, busted out after get a signature from Gordon.
Yeah, your boy Giannis, though.
Oh, yeah.
This
is probably the biggest NBA news right
now,
right? Yeah,
in today's NBA, like, trade rumors like this are... Anybody and their dog can say this player is unhappy and wants to be traded, but it feels like the rumors are swirling in the drain a little more now. I don't know. Do you kind of feel that way too, or do you still think he's pretty committed to?
I think Giannis is having a crisis right now.
That's fair.
Because I think he loves Milwaukee because they're basically his family.
They took a chance on him too.
They've even signed his like brothers throughout the years. And I think they signed Thanasis again. And they were the first team that believed in him. Like, they drafted him when he was 18 straight out of Greece.
Yeah.
And made him into an MVP and champion. And so I think he has a family there in Milwaukee. But the other thing is he wants to win another championship.
Yeah.
And the Bucks roster is not good enough to win one.
Doesn't seem like it's going to get there anytime soon.
Yeah, so it's going to be a couple years. So it's, I think Giannis has got to decide, maybe give it a month or two into the season, but he's got to decide, am I willing to sit through this for a couple years and maybe be good enough, or am I going to want to get traded? And apparently, Shams said his like trade destination was the Knicks. I don't know why that would be, but maybe he just likes big market. I don't know.
I feel like it's just tough because, like, I agree with you. I think that Milwaukee doesn't look like it. Like, Giannis kind of did this, like, what was it, two off seasons ago, where he kind of said something in a press conference where he wanted to win and that he wanted to be somewhere where he could win. And I kind of feel like at the time he was just kind of sending a message to the Bucks, like, hey, you need to get me a better roster. But then since then, the Bucks have just continued to shoot themselves in the foot, getting Dame. I know initially that looked good, but it didn't work out. And then they did it again, getting Miles Turner, trading all those picks. I just think that I think one thing Giannis isn't thinking about, though, or maybe he is, I kind of hate in today's NBA where players sign these super maxes and then expect to be traded, because it's like you could have gone somewhere in the offseason. And now, in order for the Knicks to get him, they're going to have to trade their entire bench, and then he's not really in a better situation.
Yeah.
Having Brunson with them.
They're going to have to trade one of their starters, probably, in my head. Like,
at least Mikal or OG.
OG's making a ton of money. You could probably just trade him.
Maybe Kat. I don't know.
The thing is, I think Kat and Giannis would fit pretty well together, I think you'd want to keep him.
You obviously are keeping Jalen Brunson. He's probably the untouchable one there.
But, I mean, Giannis is pretty untouchable. The Bucks, I don't know.
That's true.
They've got leverage.
That's true. So I don't know. Other teams I think he would fit on. I think the Spurs would be exciting. I've heard like people mention that before. Him and Wemby.
That would be unfair.
That would be insane.
I don't want that to happen.
I don't either.
Because the NBA would be in trouble.
I don't know if the Spurs have. They do have a lot of young assets that might be. Maybe the Bucks are wanting to rebuild. Get Dylan Harper, De'Aaron Fox, or somebody. I don't know. It would be tough to make a trade that would equal Giannis, I feel like.
Yeah, nobody's going to be able to do it.
No.
It's only if Giannis demands a trade and they just have to trade him no matter what.
We'll send Lowry Markin. I mean,
what do you think about maybe Giannis on the Miami Heat?
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't know if their roster is that much better than the
Bucks. I don't know. I wouldn't want Tyler Hero. I mean, Bam's probably the only one that I would probably want Jaime Jaquez to. He's nice. I don't even know who else.
Yeah, I don't even know who they'd trade for him.
Honestly, they'd probably have to give up Eric Spoelstra, to be honest.
What about the Magic, Giannis and Paolo together?
I guess
that'd be cool.
Give Franz Wagner. You'd probably have to give Franz Wagner up.
Yeah, you could probably do that.
Maybe Jalen Suggs.
Ooh, I think the Magic want to keep him.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know where he'll go, but if I had to predict, I think he's just going to end up staying in Milwaukee this year.
I think so too.
Maybe in the next offseason something will happen, but this season I'm guessing he'll just stay in Milwaukee.
Yeah. I've read Giannis's book before, or a book that is like a biography about him. It's kind of insane how much of a risk the Bucks took on him, not just because he was a kid from Greece that nobody had seen play, but also because like his family was refugees and they kind of had to bring his family with him. Mm-hmm. Which is probably not an easy thing to do. So the Bucks really have done a lot for Giannis and his family. So
there's a Disney movie about it.
I've seen that. Yeah,
it's really good too.
So it's I could see why he would stay committed to them. I hope he does. He's a Buck, honestly. Bringing them a championship. They brought him one, so I don't know.
Well, and have you heard the old saying, "The grass isn't always greener"?
That's true.
It might just be good to stay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, should we talk about some local sports?
Might as well.
Well, we got hockey.
Yep. Another year. Mammoth losing again. I'm just kidding. It's our year this year.
We're a playoff team.
First game, Mammoth play the Avalanche. I honestly thought they seemed like it was competitive, at least. Avalanche are one of the best teams in the NHL. At least they were last year.
Play the Predators today.
Yeah.
At 6 p.m.
Yeah, Mammoth... At one point, the game was tied 1-1. I believe it was in the third period. The Avalanche scored the last one. Mammoth had a really nice like power play, like 2 or 3 minutes where they like took like 6 or 7 shots. They were just playing really well, but Avalanche were just locking up the goal pretty good. So JJ Paterka looked really good. Dylan Gunther had a goal.
He's the guy I'm excited for.
Yeah.
Dylan Gunther.
Yeah, he had our own only goal. Clayton Keller played well.
Didn't Dylan Gunther have the first goal of last year too? I'm pretty sure he did.
He did, yeah.
The very first Mammoth or Utah goal of all time.
Yeah, he's a good
And he has the first Mammoth goal of all time.
Yep.
Good for him.
I saw they kept showing on the broadcast the top 5 NHL jersey sales so far this year. Clayton Keller was in the top 5.
Really?
I think he was like 3 or 4.
Let's go.
That could be because nobody has a Mammoth jersey.
And everyone's just like, all right, now we got the logo. Yeah. Let's cop. So, Clayton Keller's our best player.
Yeah, so to be fair. But also, it's kind of exciting, you know?
Do you remember any of the other ones? Probably McDavid.
Yeah, it was that one guy that that just signed like the biggest contract in NHL history. Did you see that?
No.
Let me see if I can find the graphic here. They said that different. Okay, I guess I can't find it, but
yeah.
Kind of interesting though.
I don't know. It feels crazy to me that Keller's in there.
Yeah, it really
we'll
is.
We'll take it.
Yeah, we will take that. But yeah, it's exciting to have a name. I think the jerseys look really nice. So
I guess before next Saturday, we play the Predators, Blackhawks, both on the road. And then we play the Calgary Flames and the San Jose Sharks.
I think Calgary's our home opener, too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, hopefully we go 3-1 in that stretch. That's kind of what I'd hope for.
Yeah, I'm lucky because I'm not in school this year, so I'm really trying to lock in on hockey this year. Last year I did a bad job. I tried. I like was following it. I'd keep
track
of
it. It's hard,
especially
when like school and like other commitments come.
Yeah, you just gotta lock.
You also gotta lock into the Jazz first
and
foremost,
and BYU, and
yeah,
you know. So speaking of BYU and Utah both play really big games this weekend. I think games that could have.
Who does Utah play?
Big 12 champion, Arizona State.
Oh, okay.
So Utah plays Arizona State in Salt Lake tonight. Apparently, it's supposed to rain during the game quite a bit. Big thunderstorm. Sam Levitt's out for Arizona State, which is big news. Okay. Jeff Sims is going to play. He's played a lot college football. I think it's like his 6th or 7th year.
Yeah.
But Utah, I think they got to win that game. I think if Utah wins that game and they're 5-1 or whatever, and BYU wins their game and 6-0, I could see it making a pretty good case for College Game Day to come to Provo next week. That's my hot take there. I don't know why College Game Day wouldn't want to come to Provo during the Holy War with both teams probably ranked. And I don't think they've ever been to Provo before, so that would be sick.
Yeah. Love to see it. And then... Yeah. Also, we'd love for Utah to win that game because Arizona State's still undefeated in Big 12 play. We want everyone to beat each other.
That's true.
So, yeah, we might have to root for Utah, but that's all right.
Yeah, that's a tough one because as long as we beat Utah, I guess
that's fine, yeah.
Yeah, it gives Utah... The rest of their schedule after BYU is like really not bad at all. Like it's pretty easy. I think that's like Colorado, Houston. Houston's been okay, but and then I think they play. I don't know. They play a bunch of the bottom team. West Virginia. I think they still.
They already played them.
That's right.
Sure.
Who was? But
okay.
Yeah, BYU is probably going through their toughest stretch. We got Arizona tonight, which is going to be tough. And we go to Utah, Texas Tech.
I think Arizona's got a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
But yeah, Texas Tech and Utah.
Iowa State's
going to
be hard.
Those three games, we could probably lose all three.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think if BYU can split those next four games, I think we could still put ourselves in a good spot for the Big 12 championship, but it's not an easy thing to do. So
I think we could get there with one loss.
Yeah, I think so.
It's gonna be. It depends on who we lose to, right?
I think if we lose to Utah, that's going to be tough to work. Because Texas Tech, I think, is going
to
be undefeated.
If we lose to them, it's like, yeah, that makes sense.
I think Texas Tech will be undefeated. Utah, if they only have one loss and it's to us, they'll have the tiebreaker. I think it's good. I think the Utah game is going to be the biggest one, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, always.
Well,
always
and it's always
it
the biggest one either
always.
Way. Yeah. Oh, kind of fun.
Yeah, and then I guess Jack Kelly's doubtful to play, so he probably might not be there tonight. Yeah, that's pretty sad. And then Glasker's probable.
Yeah.
So he should be out there.
I don't mind keeping both those guys out if they're ready for next week, to be honest.
Yeah. That's a good point. I think Kelly will probably heal up. I don't know how long he's got, guess, a shoulder injury.
Yeah, I totally agree. I noticed Sione and Moa is out. It's listed as out completely. Which is, I mean, he's not really our starter, but LJ can't carry the ball every time, so.
Yeah, and we had a fumble from one of our backups last game, so got to hope we hold on to the ball.
Yeah, I think it was Javessa DeMooney,
Yeah.
Oh, pretty exciting.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Utah Jazz Tuned In Podcast. We're grateful for you listening to this point. Let us know about our predictions and how excited you are for the Jazz season. We're going to start coming to you every week now that the season's kind of started. We'll give you breakdowns every game, keep you tuned in with everything Jazz. Make sure to follow us on all the Spotify platforms, podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you find podcasts, and take care.
Peace.